Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location underneath the Bow Trust here.
It's a classic Chicago backdrop here. We are with Finley Rutherford and co-founder of Twisted Hippo, Carl Rutherford. Papa Hippo, what's up, man?
And much good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's great to be back. It's great to be anywhere right now, but it's really great to be back here and chatting with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just great to see people again. You know, feels like it's been way too long.
Yeah, man. We've been going for about an hour in this beautiful space. I know where we're on Montrose near California, and I always forget what neighborhood we're in when we're over this far. It's like Horner Park or...
So technically it's Albany Park.
Albany Park.
But we kind of border a bunch of different neighborhoods. So there is Horner Park to the east of us. Just north of us is a little enclave called Ravenswood Manor. South of us is Irving Park.
Can't forget about Ravenswood.
And then
Manor.
We've got Albany Park. And they really do all like to claim us. So I keep joking that we need to just rename all this district like Hippoville. And it'll just be our Chicago neighborhood.
It's like we were talking about Riot Fest earlier. They call it Lagunitasville.
Yes.
Down there.
Yeah.
That's what some of the realtors
are calling. Call it down there, yeah. Down there near 26 in California.
It's funny until they actually fucking call it Hippoville.
So we were here the last time we did the podcast here. Was it 3 years ago or 2 years?
So it would have been probably late in 2018 because we opened in January of 2019.
Okay.
So yeah, it would have been just before we opened.
Right, because walls weren't. I feel like walls weren't painted yet, or maybe there was some color up.
I think the place looked drastically different from the previous residence, but then you guys weren't open yet to the public, I don't think, yet.
Yeah, we were still finishing. The contractors were still here working. We were still putting paint on things and
finishing touches
on all the elements. And
the Killer Queen machine was there, though.
Killer Queen machine was here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know we had made a few beers, but I don't think we had very many that we were, we'd done a few test batches, I think, at that point.
I've been in this joint when it was Finch's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The legendary.
Break Room. I have a Break Room hat.
I've been in this joint when it was Break Room. And those places looked alike, the one regime moved in and it kind of looked the same when the second one came in. But then when the Hippos came in, to your credit, I think it looks completely fucking different than it did when those other two guys were here.
I mean, we really wanted it to look different. We wanted it to look and feel different. We wanted it to match the personality of, us. And we knew that it had been this previous space, and we didn't want to just put a new sign outside and turn the light on and say, come on in.
They didn't want to put a bird on it, put a hippo on it.
Yeah, exactly. Change it from a bird to a hippo and then just reopen.
Just keep rolling,
We were here last time. You said test batches and kind of what you're doing beforehand. Mm-hmm. Now the beer it's evolved quite a bit, even from the time I've stopped in for brunch one time or breakfast. And even then, it was a lot of I feel like fruit beers, the bees beer. And now it's a lot more, classic styles more so, or like styles you like to drink?
I would still say that we keep it twisted a little bit. Everything we do, we do try to, put our own spin on it. Sure. Like we make the Pilsner now and we add American Noble hops, some hops that aren't typically used in a Pilsner. So it gives it a little bit of a different profile. We just try to, whether it be an ingredient or a different sort of process, we just try to put our own stamp on whatever we do. I certainly will say a lot of them are a lot more subtle than when we first opened, for sure. We do keep a few things that I would say are twisted on the menu. Yeah. Right now we have a gin-inspired golden ale that has a grapefruit peel and then a bunch of gin botanicals in it. But but it's certainly a much more balanced rail, I would say that.
And in true old man beer fashion, Nick and I rolled in and be like, give me that Pils and give me that Kolsch.
I'm like, there's a Kolsch here, so I'll have that. Yeah. Hey,
there's nothing wrong with that. I actually, my tastes have kind of evolved that way too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that the hippos are growing up and still staying true to what they were. Because I think that's important, right? Because if you don't do the things you're doing, putting a twist on these classic styles, then, you know, we talk about rock bottom a lot, right? And if you come out with brown ale, pale ale,
red ale,
red ale.
You come out with the colored ales.
Yeah, how are you different from rock bottom? I mean,
exactly. Like, why have a brewery? Why open a brewery if you don't have something to add as far as your own personality?
Right.
So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we still had that, but that we were also looking to what our customers wanted. And, you know, so we opened our doors and we listened to people. We listened to, hey, why don't you have this on? You know, why, you know, where's this particular style? And then we try to make sure that now we try to strive to have something for every palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the Pils. It was different enough that it doesn't get lost in the Pilsners that you have, where you're just like, all right, that's the Pilsner. It tastes like every other Pilsner, so at least it was enough for the twist that makes you remember it. So I dug it.
Now, when you guys opened this joint, there was the Crowler. Mm-hmm. A lot of Crowlers are flying out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How have things been since the pandemic started in comparison to
right in the middle of it.
When you guys opened, right? Yeah.
So when the pandemic first started, we were moving through Crowlers really quickly. I mean, we had to order Crowlers by the pallet, and we were, you know, there were times we actually had to switch to glass Howlers for a little while because we couldn't get the cans. You know, and people were coming out and thank them. You know, thankfully they were coming out and ordering a lot of Crowlers. But over time, we were starting to see that was, you know, trending down a little bit. I think people were, you know, there was a little bit of fatigue, and people were like, you know, how long can we do this, you know, supporting thing by going in and buying Crowlers all the time? And so we made the shift to starting to put things in, a lot more things in cans.
Okay.
A lot more things in four packs, which has been great for us. In fact, you know, we were using a mobile canner to do that, and we have shifted, and we have our own small canning line on the way, and we're going to be kind of getting back to our roots a little bit and being able to do, you know, smaller scale canning and release more frequent newer beers more often again.
Nice. Okay. What was that, being a new business or new brewery when the pandemic hit? What was that like? Were you basically like, oh shit, we're screwed? Or and you had a baby on the way. It's like, we have to make this work for not just us, but for the new guy.
So I mean, you know, the hardest thing I think has been, you know, we don't have anything to look at sort of year over year, because we were basically open for a year, and then the pandemic hit. So like, we can't go back and say, okay, what did last March look like?
Yeah, we were because super busy.
Yeah, like that's not a thing. So we don't have any historical sales data, I guess, to go back and look at and say, you know, how do we think, you know, this weekend or this month or whatever, you know, might go. So we've just been nimble, and we've just kind of figured it out as we went.
Did it help being a new spot to be a little nimble or loose like that? Like,
I think so. I think it definitely helped a little bit. It also helped that we, you know, in that year we were open, we had garnered a lot of strong neighborhood support.
Cool.
You know, we had a lot of people that wanted to make sure that we stayed here. You know, we were able to then, you know, sort of parlay that into, well, if you want us to be here, then please come and do takeout and delivery. Come buy the cans. And that's how we're going to, you know, how we're going to get through this. So we pared down to a skeleton crew and, you know, did that and reinvented ourselves probably 6 or 7 times throughout that, you know, from we're completely shut down to, you know, we're takeout and delivery. Now we can have a little bit of, you know, what was technically considered outdoor seating, because we could open the garage door at the front, you know, to being able to be open again, and then back to just takeout and delivery.
Was having food, do you think, a benefit or a hindering in the whole process?
I think it's definitely been a benefit, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see going forward. You know, we certainly have seen food sales go up versus beer sales, and, you know, that number's starting to trend back to where I, you know, I as a brewer, I always want to sell more beer. So hopefully that continues in that direction. But yeah, definitely a lot of people were getting the takeout and delivery and still are. So our food sales are definitely higher percentage wise than they were as far as, you know, beer sales previously.
I know personally, like, I'm more likely to get takeout or delivery now than even just go to places. Although, like, I'm not wanting to go to places. It's like, well, now I got used to that. I'm like okay with it, or like ordering from new places that you're like, let's see what they got. Like Alinea was doing deliveries.
Yeah.
No, I hear that.
Yeah, we actually did the Alinea at home thing for our anniversary last year.
It was kind of too much work.
It was a lot of work, but
it was just like 15 fucking dishes.
It was also nice to be able to have like this really nice meal at home.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You know, like, yeah, it was really
the
interesting.
The only downside is you're like, I'm hungry and I gotta like.
And
cook,
now I've gotta put this in the oven for 45 minutes and wait and see what happens. Oh.
I got to figure out how to blow up this balloon that I can eat at my house.
You know, I don't have a smoking gun in my
I have no
home.
Dry ice.
Yeah, I have no dry ice.
All right, we're going to skip that one. Yeah. Speaking of the beer, man, I think Brad started with the pills. I started with the Kolsch. Mm-hmm. Brad went IPA. I went IPA. And these beers are super fucking fun, man. I'm drinking the Snake Jazz.
Yep.
Brewhouse IPA. I had the Golden Ale that had some, like, a strawberry addition.
Yeah, strawberry rapture. Yeah, or strawberry lemon
and,
blonde.
Yeah, you guys are rolling, man. I feel like you guys are totally hitting the stride with these fucking beers, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And Thank the you. Design, like, they look great. They stand out. I feel like it's a...
Yeah, so we've got an artistic director, Sean Smith, goes by Seanimals, who he does 90% of the art, I would say. You know, sometimes we use an outside artist, but he always is the artistic director and makes sure that everything, you know, lives in the same world, has a cohesive look and feel. You know, and we do a new original piece of art for every beer that we make. And now that we're canning, like, more and more of that's getting out in the world. We always did it. We would have it on display here on the screens and everything in the space, but it's certainly getting more and more out into the world with the, you know, the new cans.
Social people taking pictures and they get to see it. And you're like, well, yep. I kind of need to try that beer. It's basically Schoolhouse Rocks here. I got to go.
Oh, yeah. The I'm Just a Pills art is, yeah, this Schoolhouse Rocks inspired. We have a our Hippo Hop series, our double dry hopped IPAs. And right now we have a Notorious ESC on, but we've done things like Run AMZ.
ESC?
Notorious ESC is what it's called. Yeah.
That's what you're drinking, right?
Yeah. That's this guy.
What's ESC?
So ESC, so we always use the hops that are in there. So
gotcha.
In this case, it's
gotcha.
Eldorado, Sabro, and Citra
gotcha.
In that particular
okay.
beer.
Okay. I was
so Run
like...
Run AMZ was like Amarillo, Mosaic, and Xythos.
Okay.
So
yeah. I was thinking ESB, right?
I was thinking like extra special
right.
champion.
I'm like, right. I'm like, I need some help here.
Yeah. We usually, yeah.
Okay.
Do a nod to the artist and then also the hops that we're including in that particular beer.
Got you. Is flagship beers like a thing of the past? Like, what are people responding to, like, over, like, you know, a quarter or a half a year or something like that? Is it kind of just all over the place, or some things more than others? Or
yeah, I mean, I would say that we definitely still have a few things that we make all the time, but it has absolutely shifted. You know, when we launched, our four sort of flagship beers were Beasley's, our Midwest Common with Honey, Plumpus, which is an Italian plum saison, mm-hmm. Black Umbrella, which is an oatmeal rye stout, and Old St. Augie's, which is a hoppy farmhouse. And, you know, Bees is the only one of those that we still make year-round. You know, we've kind of shifted the stout to be, even though we call it an all-weather stout, and it's awesome to drink on a porch in the summer, like, it, you know, most people want to drink it in the fall and winter. So
right.
we follow the market trends. And then, you know, then the Plumpus kind of naturally falls to be a spring and summer beer. And then the Augie, you know, it was a little bit of a lager. It's still a great beer, but it is also, you know, St. Augustine of Hippo is the patron saint of beer. So it's named after St. Augustine of Hippo. Also happens, his feast day happens to be my birthday.
Oh,
so
fun.
Another weird connection. And so we're going to make that annually for the feast day.
Yeah.
Kind of move that to an annual release.
I'm not sure I knew all of this stuff. Like... With the saints,
yeah.
And all
so
that stuff. I didn't know that.
So when we were trying to determine if you know what the name of our brewery was going to be, we'd kind of settled and we were thinking about the Twisted Hippo name. We were out with a friend of ours at a bar, and on the wall was this poster of Saint Augustine of Hippo, and it was a patron saint of beer. Mm-hmm. And our friend just looked at it and pointed at it and was like, well, it's decided. Like, it's done. Like,
yeah.
This is a thing. And then we started doing more and more research and discovered that, you know, the St. Augustine of Hippo, that his feast day or death day is also my birthday. So we're like, so there's just so many connections. Yeah, we're just like, all right, this is, yeah.
The
like,
universe just,
the universe yeah, telling us, got, right, this is it.
This like, is where we're going.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah.
I always think people are fucking with me until they actually, because we were at Ravinia, they talked about this story about their bar, and I'm just like, I don't know, it sounds like you made all this shit up. And then when you hear it, and you're like, okay, this is real.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Man, how are you liking that IPA?
This is fantastic. Ton of fruit, but then like nice, fresh hop bitterness. I'm a big fan of that. And then like it's not completely hazy. It's kind of a nod to the Midwest IPAs with just like a little bit of haze.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, we've been brewing. We call that our brew house series. So yeah, they really have sort of that old school West Coast, you know, a little bit more bitterness in the body. And then they're also dry hops. So you kind of get the best of both worlds with those.
Nice. So with the during the pandemic and COVID, like people were buying beer to go, were you missing out on a lot of that feedback from like what's working? Or you just kind of, as you were canning stuff, you're like, I hope this works. Or like, do we do new stuff? Like, where do we go?
Honestly, during the pandemic, we didn't do a lot of like brand new stuff. We kind of went back and kind of revisited the greatest hits.
Okay.
So things that, you know, that went really well in the tap room or things that people kept coming in and saying, hey, when's this coming back? We used that as an opportunity to, you know, put those things in cans for the first time and get those out in the world and see how that went. And it worked really well.
Okay.
So now, you know, now that we're getting our own canning line in here and things are starting to open back up, we're going to see more and more of those newer ideas and newer things come back. But yeah, for the last year has really been a lot about like, hey, like let's go back to our recipe book and let's, you know, do the things that, you know, people want to.
Cause with your own canning line, you can do smaller runs of more experimental things or just like test it out for that week or weekend kind of thing, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, the thing, you know, during the pandemic, we were bringing in a mobile canner, which was awesome. It definitely helped us when we saw those crowler sales going down to be able to move more beer in the four packs. But the disadvantage was, you know, the mobile canner has a minimum amount of beer that we need to make. So we needed to, you know, we're a 10 barrel brewery. So we need to fill up basically all of our tanks and then, you know, can all of that beer. And then people, you know, were used to pre-pandemic coming in, you know, in every week or every 2 weeks, you know, we'd have a new beer on draft.
Right.
And so they'd come in and we'd drop, you know, six or eight beers at once. And then, you know, they'd be brand new and that was awesome. And then, you know, 2 weeks later they'd come in and say, what's new? And we're like, well, we got to move through this stock, you know, cans that we can before we can do another round.
That's what's new. All these cans.
Yeah.
Get one of these cans.
Did you try this one?
They're still awesome. They still taste really good. Please drink them. But you know, the smaller canning line will allow us to, you know, make a batch, put a certain amount of it on draft, put a certain amount of it in cases to sell out of here, and then send a certain amount out for distribution and just keep that sort of, you know, churn and burn cycle going again.
And we chatted a little bit about the distribution side and how I think we always talked about during the pandemic how this was going to be a hard issue for bars to like, who are you buying? What are you getting? You have no kegs. You maybe kept them, but are they still good? You tried to sell it off, like Hopleaf tried to like basically sell off all their beer. So now you're building up this inventory again. But then are the breweries like yourself being like, all right, here's this couple $100 cat or whatever it is to like go out to the market.
I mean, we essentially stopped making, you know, stuff to go out for draft because no one was open, you know, selling draft. And then, you know, our distributor had a lot of stuff in stock. So they were kind of like, we're going to move through this before we move anything else. Mm-hmm. And then we started, you know, making the cans and selling them out of here and kind of decided that, hey, let's just keep it this way for now. You know, we don't have to send our people out trying to go into stores and places where it may or may not be safe. You know, we know what we're doing here.
Just
here. We know what's
come
safe from what we trust
where
here.
It's at.
Yeah.
We got to come to the source. We got a killer space.
That's the weird. Like,
it's fresh. Come here.
I don't want to see the Chicago bar scene die or anything like that, but it is like a weird thing of why are you going to the bar now to drink that beer when you could just go to the brewery that's really not that far?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know a good answer for that. It's just kind of like a, it's a sucks.
I say, yeah, it sucks. I say go to the brewery, and then if you're a bar, you know, just sell us your bourbon. Buy the bottle. Sell it. Sell us all your bourbon.
I mean, we love our bar partners, and we won't, you know, we're happy to start sending stuff back out and seeing them starting to ask about things again. So, you know, but I think.
But it drives people to your place. Like, that's the hope, right?
Yeah.
So you want that.
Well, and hopefully what we're gonna see, you know, what I'm hopeful we'll see going forward is more of a model where it's like we can have partnerships with bars and say, hey, we're making this, you know, who wants some of it?
Yeah.
And then just move that through distribution and then have the rest on here, you know, and sell it out of here as well. So kind of a little more strategic and thoughtful as opposed to sort of, you know, the shotgun approach of, you know, send it out there and, you know, see who wants to buy it.
Right,
so just kind of like hopefully working to find those places that you're like, you know, hey, they really want to work with us and really want to carry our stuff. And we'll, you know, we'll send that out of there and then the rest we'll, you know, we'll do out of here.
For sure. The city's opening back up. So that's got to be exciting. Right?
It is.
For a guy that has a tap room.
July 1st should be 100%.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's what they're saying.
So you guys will probably be at max capacity. And then is it rooftop or is it outdoor seating?
So it's going to be outdoor seating.
Outdoor
seating. So we're still in the process of getting our patio permit approved by the city. But yeah, so we do have a big garage door open in the front. So like those front like 5 or 6 tables really still kind of feels like you're outdoor, but you're not going to get rained on. And then, you know, we're going to add some tables out in front of the building. And then hopefully also kind of on the side where we have a little bit of parking over there, there's a little pad that we're going to concrete over and put a couple picnic tables out there as well. So,
right on.
Yeah.
Nice. And then we're in this back room here and we're talking earlier. There's a lot of pinball machines. You're going to do something pretty unique here. You're basically having a private arcade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we actually, we're friends with guys over at Logan Arcade. And, you know, they certainly have their own challenges with the pandemic right now. And they have a lot of, you know, machines and stuff that are not necessarily in the rotation. So we're looking to kind of have little bays back here with some kind of free play pinball. So if you rent the space, bring along some friends, hang out, play some pinball, drink some beer, eat some food, you know. And so we'll do like that through, like, a reservation system.
Rooms, like, basically, like, I think of karaoke rooms but with pinball.
Yeah, like, sort of. Sort of like little pinball rooms. And we're also working with a guy to put some skee ball machines back here as well. So
that's
sort of the same. So you can kind of have a little skee ball thing or a
skee ball
pinball video
old.
Game.
If there was a skee ball machine here right now, I would be totally down for some skee ball.
You should have joined the skee ball league.
It's gonna come
There's
back.
Skee ball league.
Gonna come back in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. The skee ball league's great.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Because you just drink beer and you play skee ball, and then like, it doesn't really matter, but you want to be the best, so you play a lot of skee ball.
Yeah, we were in a brewery bowling league, and it was kind of the same way. It was
bowling's fun, but
It's also more fun with beer. And then, you know, like there's a point where you kind of get a little bit looser and you're having fun, and then there's a point where it starts to drop. Your play starts to drop off because you've had too much beer.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the sweet spot of my diversity bowling.
It's probably the sweet spot for skee ball too.
Yeah. Like you're hitting all those hundreds and then all of a sudden you're like, I can't do anything today.
Now Twisted Hippo is a family owned business.
Yes, it is.
It's a you know, mama hippo, papa hippo, baby hippo. We're over here in Horner Park.
Hippoville.
Hippoville. We're over here in Hippoville. Where are you guys from originally?
So we grew up in Kansas.
Right on.
Yeah. And then, moved. I went to graduate school in South Carolina and then moved to Chicago.
That's a triangle right there.
Absolutely. In fact, our logo is our Twisted Hippo Pinky. He's a pink hippo with antlers, wings, and a pigtail. And the wings are actually a nod to The Wizard of Oz, the flying monkey wings, since we grew up in Kansas.
Oh, okay.
Right on. Yeah. I'm wearing my Juan Kim shirt because that's the first time I heard about you guys.
Yep.
It was Juan Kim's, like, I know this husband-wife duo.
they're killing it. They got like 25 beers on at their house. I'm like, at their house? He's like, this is like 2013.
Yep.
He's like, he's like, at their house. You got to check this shit out. So it's like just watching you guys just kind of make this path and grow into a space like this has actually been pretty cool. Did you guys look at other spaces at all before you landed in this place?
We did. We were looking at a lot of different spaces and a lot of different neighborhoods in the city, but we kind of always had our eye on this place. We've lived within a mile of this building for nearly 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
We've kind of done a little bit of a semicircle around it and have always lived really close. So this is our neighborhood. So when this really became an option for us, we were excited because we could do something in our neighborhood and really understand what we could do and bring for, you know, the people that live right around here, but then also the people that we're going to attract, you know, that are going to come from a little further away to come visit us.
Yeah, for sure. I actually used to live on Troy right here. So like Montrose and Troy right before you hit Kedzie.
Okay.
And, you know, there's the super cool like garlic chicken joint right there.
Oh yeah. The Brasserie Roja.
Yeah. Brasserie Roja.
They're awesome.
But you know, and then there's some fun bars here. Right. And
even
by the Brown Line off Kedzie, there's some fun bars, but there was never like a brewery for this area.
You even have a good triangle of breweries. Now you got Twisted Tipple, you got Old Irving, and Aris are kind of like
absolutely.
A good little bike ride if you were going to do that.
And, you know, and if you go further east, you've got, well, for what will be for a little while longer, the Half Acre Lincoln Tap Room, which will soon be the Hop Butcher Tap Room. And then, you know, you go over to the Ravenswood Courier, you got what was Band of Bohemia, what I now understand will be Forbidden Root.
Yeah, we haven't even. We'll dive into that on the next episode.
the forbidden Root Invasion is upon us.
Expansion.
It is here, man. Yeah, so it is a cool little romp when you think about it. Like this northwest side thing.
Yeah.
There's some fun pockets
and
that you can
get
up.
Very, very full. They're all brew pubs.
Oh, shit, that's
like,
right.
If you're going over to Ravenswood Corridor, you know, those are just bars.
None of them have food.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when you name most of the Northwest Side breweries have fucking, they're brew pubs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they're all in these neighborhoods. They cater to a lot more of the family and the people that live there. I think having food is an important feature of that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, people will come in for the beer, but food will keep them there to have a few more beers.
Yeah.
Like, it was important to us when we opened, you know, we didn't originally envision like being a full-on brew pub and having our own, like basically running a restaurant. You know, when we got this place, it became like an awesome option. So, you know, we rolled with it, but originally we were kind of thinking we'd have a tap room with a strong food component, whether it be food trucks or you know, something like that. And then, you know, it kind of worked out to do this. So we pivoted a little bit and, you know, and went with it.
It works out, man. We were noshing on some
cheese curds, spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah, all the food was good. All the beer was good. The space looks great.
And that, yeah, and then the breakfast we were saying I was in for that at one point, but that's gonna start to come back. The brunch.
Yeah, we'll bring it back when it makes sense. You know, we brought it back a little bit last summer. You know, people kept asking, hey, when's the brunch coming back? When's it coming back? And then we brought it back. And then we didn't have a ton
those
of people that came in for it.
Didn't show up.
Or the people that came in would order, you know, they would order the smash burger instead. So we went ahead and made the decision. We put a few things on the menu that we keep on. So we have you can get the breakfast burrito, which is delicious, like all day long now.
Oh, fun.
So we just kind of rolled a few brunch items into our regular menu for the time being, just to keep that going.
Haymarket did that. They were a breakfast joint for like every bit of like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you can get coffee and donuts
and
then after a while they were like, well,
no one shows up.
It's hard to justify this.
Yeah, we actually
setup.
Briefly kind of flirted with that too. We did do some like to-go coffee and pastries and stuff. And yeah, it was like we got a little bit of foot traffic, but not enough to justify
it
keeping it going.
It sounds good because there's not enough breakfast spots in Chicago, but then you don't go to them. It's weird. Like mm-hmm. you want them, but then you don't go.
You want to know it's a thing you can do.
You can do. You want the option.
Want to know you can do it.
Yeah.
And then you like, when it's time to go, you're just like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Nick loves the breakfast beer. So.
Oh, dude, you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, breakfast beer is amazing.
That's what the plum saison. I was like, you know, hey, man.
It's a perfect breakfast beer, yeah.
When I'm up, Michael. You know, making breakfast and, you know.
You know, we have beer mosas and all that, too.
Peace.
Yeah, good stuff.
Give me this plum saison.
So you can you can brew like whatever beer you want here. You have your brewer series, but mm-hmm. if you're not drinking your beer, who are you drinking in the city? Who's that? Who's in the fridge at home? It's not yours.
Right now, it's been a lot of Pipeworks and Old Irving.
Okay.
You know, friends of ours. You know, some 18th Street. Always those guys are, you know, friends of ours from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. The underground circuit.
Yeah.
When you think about Spiteful.
Spiteful as well. Yeah.
Twisted,
absolutely.
Twisted Spiteful. Hippo, yeah. Or 18th Street. Yeah, and you start thinking about those underground parties that where everyone showed up and they had their own brand and mm-hmm. they had clever names for their beers. They were ready to go as pros, but it was like this underground thing. It was underground festival circuit.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, and then there was. So
yeah, even the first time I remember running into you guys was at Hoptacular.
Mm-hmm.
You were upstairs area, and it's like Buddy Scott Marvel.
When it was over at the Aragon.
Former boss Scott Marvel had done stuff or knew you guys somehow, I was like, oh well, I gotta check these out.
Long Grove. I remember seeing you guys, the only crew I knew in Long Grove.
Oh yeah, we were out there for Buffalo Creek. I think. Yeah.
Where's this Long Grove?
it's
a ways out there. Yeah.
I don't know. Like on your way to Highland Park, right? Something like that.
Okay.
Something.
That sounds.
It's out yonder. It's out yonder, man. Great taste. I ran into you guys at fucking.
Yeah,
great.
Well, yeah.
You guys at Great Taste. Yeah. I see hippos all the time.
It's gonna be interesting. I don't know if Great Taste is happening this year, but you know, I mean, they're saying they're gonna roll with it. I would love to see it happen. We'll see kind of what it looks like if they do.
Yeah. What's your opinion on festivals coming up or pouring at them if they all of a sudden appear?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I want them to come back. You know, we love being able to go out there and hey, Finley. Finley has his opinion too.
Have you even been to Great Taste, bro? Have you?
Have you even? Not yet. But so you know, like it's going to be interesting to see how they work. I know we were talking a little bit about, is it going to be disposable cups? Is it going to be like smaller sessions? Like how's it all going to work? And you know, we're game to get back out there and try it because we love introducing our beer to new people. And we haven't been able to do festivals for.
I think our first one, unless we missed it, was going to be the Seltzer Fest.
I hope it's still coming up. I hope we didn't miss it.
We might have missed it.
We probably missed it. Knowing us.
I think we forgot about it. Our first beer fest was going to be a Seltzer.
Going to be a Seltzer Fest.
We probably missed it. I feel like it's this weekend.
I feel like it's coming up still. We got to check it.
It's perpetually coming up.
We got to check the inboxes, man. See what's going on. See what's what.
But yeah, I'm excited. Like. Yeah, touched on Oak Park. I feel like that could be a good first one. Like these outdoor, like beer fest outdoor, like a FOBAB kind of setting seems like that's crazy.
Seems like a bit much.
But Oak Park microbrew, or
you know, I feel like that should be on the conversation.
Because this should be Chicago Craft Beer Week.
You know,
yeah, and technically is like
it
is. But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of people doing things. I've seen some people doing. You know, specials or special releases and that kind of stuff, but yeah, like not what it used to be.
It popped up on like bug throwback photos.
Oh, dude,
today.
All the throwback photos. Yeah, I saw one from.
Oh, I miss bug.
Bug, man, that's a whole party.
Yeah,
that's
a
this
great,
reminds me. We're in the backspace of the brew house, and it reminds me of when Goose threw that. They turned their brewery into a golf course. What's now Finch was their brew house.
Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
It was a golf course, and it was a space. That kind of felt on par with this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Big warehouse. Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of that when you talk about Chicago Craft Beer Week. So I'm really excited to see what you guys do with the backspace. And then, I think supporting small business is important, family-owned business. And then it's crews like this that kind of make Chicago a beer destination, right? Like outside of the stuff that we all know about, right? Like that people talk about in other cities. Like these kind of hardcore Chicago locations – that are just good. These spaces are cool, man.
Right, so, especially the neighborhoods where it's like the people are, I guess, more supporting than like, oh, someone from Pittsburgh bought this beer.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll sell that to that person, you know, once or twice or whatever, and they'll have a good experience. But it really is the people that are close by that are going to be your regulars and going to be very supportive and come back in and visit you often.
Yeah.
And if you don't do a good job for them, then you're not going to exist.
Nice. Raining? No. Better not be raining. Yeah. Awesome. So where can people, I guess, do you have, are you doing reservations? We got the talk thing.
Yep.
Like, there's sort of limited, we're at 50% capacity as recording this. So it's not, you can't just roll up. You might be able to get a table. Today it's not busy on a, too busy on a Thursday.
Yeah. So what I usually say if I answer the phone is, you know, hey, like weekdays, you're probably going to be fine walking in. If it's a Friday or Saturday, I would recommend doing a reservation. And right now we're doing those through Talk. Okay. So exploretalk.com, you can make reservations there, or there's a link on our website to make them as well. You know, just to be safe, it's probably a good idea to make them for, you know, those Friday and Saturday nights get a little crazy with the limited capacity and then all the takeout and delivery stuff that we're still doing. So,
right.
You know,
which is definitely through DoorDash and not through Grubhub.
Not through, never through Grubhub. Never through Grubhub.
That's a whole other story.
That should be the next beer. Never through Grubhub.
But then, like, new beers are getting posted on socials.
Yeah, absolutely. Like absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, check that out. Yeah. And this was great. Thanks for having us back.
Of course. Thanks for coming back. Yeah. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah.
I missed having conversations like this.
I know, man. It's been forever.
Shooting shit
man.
And drinking.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sit and talk about beer. I'm happy.
Awesome. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Yeah, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, fun reels of us doing constantly stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.